Welcome to the Silent Meeting Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah, and since this is our first episode, the format today will be a bit different from what it will be going forward. This podcast is intended to help me and the audience create a space for more of God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and less of myself by offering a sacrifice of silence. This practice begins with perhaps similar intentions as a daily devotional would include, but it is different and will allow for a different outcome because instead of approaching God with what I think, I need, want, can do, should do, offering silence admits and declares publicly or privately, depending on where your meeting is, that I have come to a place where I am out of answers and direction to take, and so I am using silence as a way to prostrate myself before the God of creation and just shut up and wait on Him to reveal what He will. And it may not seem to have anything to do with my current situation, but it does. And the problem has been a lack of awareness in the right direction. God can and will fix direction, maybe even before anything else is fixed. Silent meetings are not intended to replace daily devotional time or daily Bible reading. On this first episode, I believe God is wanting the topic of overwhelm to be discussed. I have brought on my husband, Brian, for this discussion because he unintentionally named this first episode while we were in the bathroom together earlier, and our three children, all under five, were screaming and fighting with each other over coloring books and crayons, and he named it. He said, "What did you name this? I guess I should talk to you because you're sitting right here." So, hi, Brian.
Hello.
And so, this morning we were in the bathroom, and so you said, you know, we were talking about silent meetings and we were talking about what the name of this first episode should be. And you said,
basically, how to be silent when there is no silence.
Yeah. How to have silence when there is none, because in our house with three children under five, it can be, hectic and chaotic at times. And, I think that also in the world, we are experiencing similar things. So Brian, when you think about silence and being or sitting in silence, what comes to mind? What do you think of? What does silence look like?
Initially, you know, the thought was that it's being quiet. As we've tried to do this, I'll say now for many years. How many years now? 10 years? Longer than 10 years.
Really started it. We just finished 10 years at the end of the year. We started in 2012,
right?
The beginning of 2012. So yeah, we just completed 10 years of silent meetings ourselves, of varying kinds of silent meetings.
Right. So, you know, there's being silent physically, not making any noise. You know, that's, I suppose, one part of it. But for me, as we've journeyed through this process, it's being silent internally. Trying to keep my mind quiet, which it seems impossible a lot of times, my spirit, trying to just get out of the way and let God fill that silence. Sometimes it seems like, you know, we're probably getting way ahead of the discussion, but, I'll leave it at that. Yes. Trying to still myself in every way, physically, mentally, to allow God to fill that space.
Yeah, I remember years ago, when your dad first came to me, or didn't first come to me, but first gave me something like that had scripture on it. It was a jewelry box or a music box, and I think I still have it. And it says, "Be still and know that I am God." I knew that scripture was important back then. But I was a person who didn't have any practice of being still. I went to sleep with the television on. I couldn't even go to sleep without the television on. I remember I would talk to different people and even you, and that seemed sort of counterintuitive. How do you sleep with a TV on? But I needed some kind of white noise in the background to just be able to fall asleep, because the thoughts, that would go through my head were many and rapid, and creating a space to be able to fall asleep in. I mean, you have to have some sort of, or some people, I guess not everybody needs this, but some people need a sort of a winding down, and it would just seem like my mind didn't know how to wind down. on its own, and I would use TV to help. So being silent it can be a like gladiator type a gladiator request. I feel like you might be the toughest person, but somebody asks you to sit down and be silent, and that's like a task that's quite overwhelming. I sound like I'm starting to hesitate and do different things, and that's because we've got my 1-year-old, almost 1-year-old, he'll be 1 on Wednesday, here with us. And we're upstairs in a bedroom trying to record this. And he has just crawled out of the bedroom, and now he's going down the hall, and we don't have a gate set up at the top of the stairs yet. And he's pretty quick. So, I'm going to try to fill this space right now while I'm waiting on Brian to come back. And just by saying, even this first podcast episode is maybe fumbly a bit, because we have not been people who hardly ever listen to podcasts, let alone host one. And so if we sound like we don't know what we're doing, and if we sound like little children, that's because we are very much so. So he is back now, and so we can continue on. And so I basically you've given us what you thought your what your idea of silence is, and that's, just being quiet. And I think for different people, that's going to look like different things. There's a lot of different answers. There may be as many different answers as there are people. At the end of the day, a person just trying to do their best to be silent in whatever capacity, would be a beginning point. Doesn't really matter if we all have the same definition. What matters is, when it comes to something like this, is that we are just trying to do our best. And so that's what this podcast is going to aim at too, is bringing on various people who have some level of practice with silent meetings, and they will be able to go through their process and what that looks like, and describe how that's been life-changing for them, because I know so many people who have began a daily practice of doing silent meetings, or weekly practice, or monthly practice, or one time here and there. It's not like it has to be some ritual to it, if the person isn't being led to do that. This is, whatever a person's being led to do, daily, weekly, hourly. Sometimes in my house we need hourly silence, because we're up against so much overwhelm and so much chaos. So anyway, I decided I wanted to look up the definition of silence, because sometimes for me it helps to just know what is the word, what's the textbook definition of the word silence. And I just did a quick search on the internet and came up with the definition being threefold. Silence, according to the American Heritage Dictionary, fifth edition, says, the condition or quality of being or keeping still and silent. The second definition is the absence of sound or stillness. And the third is a period of time without speech or noise. I also then wanted to look at the etymology of the word, because sometimes that will, the definition can be enlightening, but the etymology really can be enlightening. And so this is from, it's just from the general etymology. I didn't actually get the citation on this. This is just from, like, if you just type in etymology silence or silence etymology, and there's a website that I think it's like Edmi Online or something like that. So that's what this is from. And it has the different parts of speech. Silence, when you're using silence as a noun, which is sometimes what we'll be talking about, but also, I mean, silent meetings is an active, so it would be a verb to hold silence. So, but first I want to go over the etymology of the noun version of silence. And this is from the year 1200. So it's circa 1200. And silence is muteness or state of being or keeping silent, a forbearing from speech or utterance. It's from the old French silence, state of being silent, absence of sound or noise, from Latin silentium, a being silent, and also the present participle of silere, to be quiet or still. The meaning of absence of sound in English is from late 1400 century, the meaning absence of mention. Is, and that's quite interesting because that's where we get the phrase silence is golden. But the verb form, it says to become still or silent, to make silent, restrain from speech or noise, silenced or silencing. So the other forms are just depending on how you use the word. So silence is, you know, it's a key, it's a muteness, definitely what you were talking about. It's just an inner quietness. It can be an inner quietness, but it can also be keeping still, an absence of sound. And even like this mention, with the phrase silence is golden, an absence of mention. You know, if you are a person who is quiet, which anybody who knows my husband knows that he is, yes, he's probably not mentioned a lot from people because he doesn't, you know, there's not, people don't, I don't want to say that, like people don't have tons of interaction with you. So you are, you know, the your absence of mention is understandable because you're not participating, you know, I guess. And that can be good or bad. Choosing what we participate in to speak, I think is a, has, I think it could be something we all pay a lot more attention to, what we choose to speak, and what and where we choose to be silent. Words are what God created everything with. So it stands to reason that the lives we all live and the situations we find ourselves in may largely be to do with the words we have spoken. And knowing both when to speak and when not to speak is something the Bible portrays Jesus as being able to do well. And that sort of leads me into what I believe this first episode needs to be about, and that is how to cultivate our silence when there is very little of it. I think we are living in a day and age where many of us are experiencing lessening degrees of peace and contentment. And you could put that in any arena. And so I guess how do you cultivate silence, or what are your thoughts since you were, you're the one who came up with this name. What ways come to mind? How can we be more intentional about creating or cultivating silence in our lives?
Well, that's on the spot. You know, that's a great question. And honestly, since our family has expanded several times over the last 5-6 years, It seems as if it's become increasingly difficult. I should really need someone coming in here to help me with this. Back when we just had our oldest son, and he actually participated when we would, try and get silent and spend time with the Lord, and it was, fairly easy, at least comparatively to today. It seems like to be able to do that, I find myself now. There's so many competing things for my time and my energy and my thoughts,
Including recording this.
including recording this. We do. We have four children. Luckily, the oldest is pretty self-sufficient, but the three youngest are not. It seems like one or more of them is having a need, we'll say, at all times. And that almost includes all night long. Sleep is something that's a precious commodity around here. So yeah, so finding a time, throughout the day where you can just try and again set everything aside and just be silent. It seems very, very difficult, and honestly, I'm not doing a very good job of it right now. Part of it, I think, is placing a bit too much importance on these things that are competing for my time and my energy. Should they be really put being up so high that I can't find the time to spend, with the Lord? I mean, Jesus consistently in the New Testament is described as, he went away. He went away and isolated himself on a mountain. Presumably so that he could spend the time with his father. And in peace and in silence. It was
And
very important. I mean, he had more things to do than I do.
when you are a single male who can slip away when you don't have a family and your full-time job is ministry, you can do those things. And I believe he would have done them irregardless of whatever the situation was. But I'm thinking about my situation being where I have like an infant who even when there are times that I would like to get away for just even a certain amount of time, I can't because the baby is crying and there's no one else that can console the baby the way that I can. So.
I think for us and in this phase of our life that we're going through, and 40 years from now, if we're still here, I think it will look dramatically different. But it's our expectations, perhaps, of what that silence or that silent time needs to look like, perhaps, is what needs to change. Because God knows what we are going through, He knows what He's placed upon us to care for.
Yes, and when we were downstairs earlier and you had given the name for this, at that same time we were discussing the kids fighting over the crayons and the coloring books on the table, and you had and I had said, like what are you doing? And you said that you were going to try to not do anything.
Yes, let it
You were going
play out,
so how
right?
yeah.
Essentially, don't intervene unless someone was going to hurt themselves, I think is what I said. Our 5-year-old and 2-year-old were having struggles over the crayons.
The crayons and the
Yes.
coloring books. And so you had made a determination that you were going to not react. You were going to basically put forth silence,
Yes. Choose
a
to.
form of silence. It wasn't
Right.
necessarily the silence as the in the complete sense of the word silence, but it was a way of being silent. You were going to withhold your intervention. You were going to withhold your activity, your being from the children because they weren't listening to you anyway. And both twofold. I mean, there was a frustration on your part, but there is also a part that an adult sees that children can't see, and not just children, but anybody who's like too deep in a situation that's emotional. The crayons and coloring books it was a very emotionally charged situation for the children, and it seemed to other people and to adults, it could seem like a trite situation. But we all have this going on. We all have our crayons and coloring book situations going on, where another person steps in and doesn't see the depth of what you were emotionally charged about. We have these kinds of things happen all the time. And you decided that the best course of action was to withhold your presence from the children.
Yes.
And I think that God, being the ultimate picture of the perfect parent, could do those things as well. I definitely know the Bible talks about where he speaks through different prophets and says that he is going to withhold his presence for a time.
Yes, and I think he largely does that, did that, to let us figure out that we can't figure it out and deal with it on our own. Like if our children, again, 2 and 5, would realize, and I'm not
And
saying I'm
one.
God, and 1, would realize that listening to their mom and their dad would probably make things go more smoothly for them. They would be more inclined, to do so. But what they have to figure out is that left to their own devices and their own emotions and their own decisions, not seeking out guidance of, at this point, their parents. At some point, we will get replaced by God. I hope that they will seek him out and not us. But for now, it's us. That they make their lives much more difficult and much more frustrating. I think so. This morning I was going to let them figure it out, and in doing so, the frustration did not seem to dissipate. It just got, more and more so. Eventually, I think I did have to step in because I thought, it was someone might end up getting hurt or something. And I think that's what God does too, is in order to make us realize how much we need him, he will step away for a while. To let us try and experience it on our own, to deal with it on our own, to struggle on our own, to realize we cannot do it on our own. And perhaps before it gets too late, he steps back in and says, "Now here I am."
But does he just step back in, or does he want, when you were th when you think about the crayons and coloring books and Joshua, or our two children, Joshua and Selah? We have three children, three small children, Joshua, Selah, and Jace, but Jace was not involved in this because he's only one. It was just Joshua and Selah. When you think about Joshua and Selah fighting over the crayons and the coloring books, and you coming to intervene, you might at first withhold your presence just because you can initially see, okay, they're not listening to me anyway. They don't realize that I know better than them. Okay. But then let's say you then step in another time and you get over that one and you step in again and you try, and they scream and throw the coloring books and the crayons in your face. And so at this point, you start to realize, okay, I'm not wanted even. Not only are they not listening to me, they don't see the need for me, but they don't want me. So it's twofold. So at that point, now there needs to be not only them, fighting it out till the end, whatever that looks like, whether that's torn coloring book pages or broken crayons or somebody falls down or pushes somebody over, as harsh as that may sound, the two of them may need to get to those points in their lives to where both of them, and it's, are stopped. Their behavior gets so out of control that they are forced to look at themselves. Even at 2 and 5, they can do this. We saw it happen. They can get to the point where they can, and it did happen. Selah got to the point where she gave up and she came to you. She
Isn't
came
yeah.
to you for consolation.
Yes.
And so God is looking, I believe, God wants the same thing God is perfect. I don't in any way mean to insinuate that, like, ever that we are like better than God or anything like that. God is above us. So, but he is at least us, is what I want to convey. He is at least us. So if we, being humans, in our own little ways, can, know that, hey, I'm not needed, I'm not wanted. I'm just going to sit back here and wait. The first thing that lets you know, or almost welcomes you back into the conversation, or the fight, or the crayons and the coloring books, whatever you want to call that, the first thing that lets you know that you're welcomed back into that was Selah giving you a hug.
She came and, I hadn't, we hadn't removed ourselves from the situation completely. We weren't there, but we were available, I
We were
guess.
just waiting on the side.
Right. And, and she, yeah, when it reached a point that she was beyond, I guess,
She was beyond her
she
capability.
sought us out and came, and yes, and came to me for consolation, which I, yeah, I mean, I think that's a parallel to
But she
what
didn't
God
just
wants.
sit over on the table and tell Joshua, "I need mom and dad's help," like, or talk, she did, she
No,
came to us.
she made an
There was
action
an
and,
action. There
or
was an,
she also could have maybe called out and asked me to come, and at which point I would have came.
yes, what
But
this
yes.
action looks like, it could vary dramatically. The point that I'm trying to get to is that this these this I was in a similar situation to the children last night. I had several things that were overwhelming me, just like the children's crayons and coloring books, and not being able to share and sort out who was going to get what was overwhelming them. I was overwhelmed last night. And because we've been doing silent meetings for 10 years, I trained mentally that that's my go-to. And so you were feeling, you were having some physical symptoms that were, you've been having a fair amount of, and you never reach out. I mean, I'm the one who I'm always like, ah, my toenail hurts, and I mean, I'm exaggerating some, but I want to get the point across that you and I are very different when it comes to being emotionally triggered. It takes a whole lot for you and not a whole lot for me. But you've been experiencing some things over the past year to year and a half that I think are, somewhat to do with the overwhelmed state that we have f found ourselves in. And they're concerning, when you have something happen over and over again, when you have the same sort of warning lights go off on your car, maybe the first time you ignore it, the second time you ignore it. But the third or the fourth time you might be like, hey, before the car just breaks down on me on the interstate, I better go get that checked out. And physical symptoms can be that way. And you reached out to me last night and you said, well, what do you think this is? And I'm trained to know that I don't know the answers. I think we do this a lot. We reach out to each other. We reach out to doctors. We reach out to things. And I'm in no way saying that that's not good things to do. But I know that especially in the Old Testament, there are examples where God is jealous. And when a king would have a crisis, or his people were in crisis, one of the first things that would be so upsetting, as it would be to any parent, is to watch your children go somewhere else. First, initially, it's not that God can't tell us where to go or what to do, but you came and I went to have a silent meeting. I just went to my closet, which is where I go, and I had a silent meeting, and I received a vision and some words, and that gave us the direction. I wasn't thinking about, anything when I came in there. I tried the best I could to clear my mind, which was easier many years ago before all the kids. I'm very out of practice, so it's funny that we're even doing this podcast
Yes.
right now. We are sort of
Yes.
fairly out of practice of silent meetings, but we also know and have experienced and have lived the life-changing effects that it can have when you truly put down your way and let God pick it up. So
Thanks for later podcasts. Lots of
yes,
lots
so
of
many yes. This is
testimonies that
just
you
the
can give.
first. Yeah, this is just the first.
But I think, you know, sort of circling back to, you know, what does silence look like for me now, or someone else? So, you know, I think God very much meets you where you're at, and also has perhaps different expectations for different people. I'm not sure who all, you know, will be coming on the podcast, but I'll imagine at some point you're going to have some people who are spending very dedicated, isolated, at least 30 minutes, perhaps two 30-minute sessions a day, you know, completely isolated, silenced in every physical possible way they can do it, because they feel that's where they're, what God called them to do right now, and that's their, you know, their service to Him. And there was a point in time when we were there, and then God has moved us into a different phase of our life. And so, you know, for me, a lot of times, my 2-year-old daughter does not sleep all that well. So generally at some point during the middle of the night, I have to go be with her until basically the morning. And so, you know, I'll be waking up. She's really restless a lot of times too, especially when I actually want to get up and start my day. Sometimes that can't happen because she's restless and she wants to lay next to me or on top of me or whatever makes her feel comfortable so she can get back to sleep. And it's those times right now where I find, well, maybe I can try and be silent with the Lord right now because I'm awake, but I can't really go do anything. And, you know, maybe that's 30 seconds of silence. And maybe that is 15 minutes, 20 minutes of silence. I think this morning when I tried to do that, what I heard from God was basically like, you know, this is okay. Keep it small. Keep it simple. That what I was doing was all that He expected of me. You know, I am attempting, I'm trying to make that time, you know, just again, alone with Him. Even though I'm not alone, I have a 2-year-old, like probably literally laying on top of me.
You didn't expect Sayla to come in and say, "Daddy, I'm sorry that I was fighting with Joshua over the crayons and the coloring books."
Right.
Was that anywhere close?
No, God, that would have been beyond. someday maybe.
What did she do? What?
She just, just clutched on to me, and that was it.
She just cried, whined, and came over and held on.
Held on. So
that's it. And you knew that that meant I'm welcome into your space.
Yes.
You didn't have some grand ritual to perform.
No. And we've definitely, you know, again, topics for later podcasts, but we've definitely had some strict procedures, you know, that we went through at one point in time to get into a place where we could sit down and be in the presence of the Lord. I'm not saying those things are wrong.
No.
But different, again, different stages of where you're at with things. And I think sometimes God probably still does want us to do that.
Yes.
But He does not want us to be like, well, God, I've got nothing for you today because I can't go spend 30 minutes isolated in my holy of holies that I've segregated off in my house.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's not where it is. He's like, Brian, if you feel like all you've got is 30 seconds in the morning when you're laying with your 2-year-old, then perfect.
You know, before she starts pinching you.
Right. You know, then I welcome you, you know.
He welcomes us.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess as if people are new to the concept and are wanting to know what it might look like, or are new to it and are struggling because they don't feel like I can't get silent. You know, that was me for sure when we first started.
If you're in the car and you're driving and you're sitting in a traffic jam and you know, you feel all these terrible thoughts and things come over you and you just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, it can just be, even with your eyes open, it doesn't have to be eyes closed. It doesn't have to be any particular space.
Nope.
It is so much more about where your mind is.
What are you trying to focus on, at least, to the best of your capabilities
in
that moment?
Yes.
Yes.
I think that there are a lot of people who do some of these things, too. I would say that if it's at all possible, to like record these things down, whether it's through writing or typing or audio on an app or something like that, just getting these notes down and compiling them somewhere can build a picture, you know, because if you only did have 30 seconds in the car during a traffic jam to meet with the Lord, there he may only have been able to give you 30 seconds worth of information. And that's like the difference between eating a Snickers bar, you know, and having a 7-course meal. I mean, we all want to get to the banquet table, but if you can't get there, you're going to need some sort of sustenance to sustain you along the way.
And again, so many things. You'll have so many different podcasts to talk about your experiences and what other people have experienced when they do this. But in that 30 seconds, God could actually do a
Oh
lot.
my goodness.
There
Yes.
are, people that we have known that in 3 seconds of human time, experienced 3 days
In the spirit
in the
realm.
spirit realm. So don't feel like, oh, I've got 30 seconds, so it's not worth it. Don't assume that. Don't limit God. God can do a lot. God can do anything, but our limitations are not his limitations. So, just realize we haven't really talked about, I guess, and maybe that's not for today, sort of the purpose, I think, of why you're trying to be silent and being, again, being silent and being with the Lord, not just being silent for the purpose of, say, like internal meditation or anything like that. Like, the purpose is to give that time to be with God, for me. And for me, that silent time is to want to, I want to have a relationship with the Lord. I want to give that to him. I want to be with him. But for us, largely, it is so that we know to the best of our ability what he wants for us. What is his will for us? We do it all the time, get silent to and place situations or things in front of him, to get guidance from him, so that we are not making our choices out of our own wisdom, I guess we'll say, for or lack thereof. And again, that's probably getting off topic, but
Making a space for God sometimes needs to be intentional for a person who doesn't even know where to start. Oh, doesn't God know what I'm thinking already? Doesn't God know where I'm at already?
He
Yes,
does.
he does. But just like Brian knew where the kids were earlier today, he sat and silently and waited for them to come to the place where they were aware of him. And then they didn't come to him with, and sometimes that does happen. We go to God. There is daily devotional time. There is daily Bible reading time. Certainly those things are important. The Bible is enormously important in our daily walk. It shows us how God has already been. Throughout history, it shows us there's just so much. But the Bible does not, you know, if I'm in a crisis of faith, I can't open it to the book of Sarah and find the directions for what to do today. God is a living God, and some of the things that are in the Bible, some of the promises, some of the prophecies, some of all of these things, and maybe all of these things are for us today. I'm not saying anything against that, but I'm saying we all have lives that don't include, you know, that we know historical biblical literature does not have the answer for, and we can read about what experiences people had with the God of the Bible in the past and see how they handled and navigated. And that is kind of what we are talking about. People did, I have no doubt the temple was probably silent in certain places, you know,
Very silent, I would imagine.
in order to
Yes.
get God's guidance on stuff. And it used to be that it was only certain chosen people. And now, it's different, and it has been different for the last 2,000 years because of what Jesus did to rip that veil and to take us to be able he is able to take us to the Father now, but we still need to be able to communicate, receive communication, with the Lord. And I think that daily devotional time is one part of a two-part thing. Daily devotional time, you bring your prayers, your requests, your agenda, your thoughts to the space that you meet the Lord, whether that's in your closet or at your table or in your car on the way to work or whatever that looks like for everybody. And that's one set of intentions, but this is different. This is just you with none of that. You're not looking for, you don't have the Psalms. When I say the Psalms, that's the most poetic, wonderful form of devotional that you could have, in my opinion. That was one of my first devotionals. I have just a book of Psalms and Proverbs, and I used to, pray those and write letters to the Lord based on those. And that's a really good thing. It was a really good thing. But this is different than that. This is different than having our daily breads, devotional or something like that. This is different. This is, you don't have anything. You're not bringing anything to it. You're just bringing an offering of silence. And go ahead.
Yeah, and I believe that is, there's a time for, study. There's a time for prayer where we're actively petitioning the Lord. There's a time for worship, which comes in so many different forms. And I do believe that silent time or offering silence is a form of worship,
I do too.
it's just a different form of worship.
It is.
So, but
Each
yes.
thing that we do is going to, have a reaction to it or a consequence to it. Having a daily devotional causes the other thing on the other side of that, and having Bible time causes, a deeper knowledge of the Bible, of God from a historical sense. But having silent meetings causes you to go deeper into the spirit realm, and that can be scary, or a breath of fresh air, depending on who you are and what your beliefs are and what your experiences have been. And definitely all things to go into in the future, not for this episode, just knowing that it is possible. It is possible to access the spirit realm at any point, on a second's notice, and being able to get guidance from God. And I remember one of the very first meetings that we had, God gave this to you. We were doing, or we were, I know I was just thinking on a daily basis, this is nutty. I mean, like, what are we hearing? What is going on here? How can this be something that we trust, that we base any real decision on? And you received something along the lines of, and we weren't even thinking this at the time. It was just, it was something that when we received the word, it caused us to reflect and realize we've got to stop. If we're going to do this, we've got to stop speaking it, speaking like it's not
It's not real.
valid, like it's not real, like it's not valid. Because that you can't, I mean, it's a choice. You can, give it a try like anything. You can be skeptical. God can handle skeptics. He doesn't mind. He's okay with skepticism and with disbelief. And he's big. His shoulders are broad, and he can handle all of those things when we come to him. We could come to him with a mustard seed. just the teeniest bit of, okay, I'm going to give this a try. How many things in life did you ever, start? I mean, you never knew that you could play golf until you did it, and were you,
it was ugly.
I was going to say, were you even good at it at first?
No.
you know, but you went on to shoot 3 holes in 1. You had a full scholarship to, where was it out in North Carolina that you had received?
South Carolina,
I'm sorry.
Winthrop.
And I personally think you could have went on to like do the PGA. You're going to say you couldn't have.
That's not exaggerated.
But anybody who's ever played golf with you knows that you were, you are one of the best. You were one of the best people at that sport. And you will never know because you didn't choose that path in life. But that being said, you didn't start out that way. It starts ugly, like this podcast, perhaps. It starts rough. But the point is to start.
You have to start
somewhere if you want to take it seriously. And I want to finish my point of even bringing this up. And that was, God said to you or through you that what made the difference between what we were doing and like psychic type things, I think was what you had heard, was that you were your intention was to turn to him.
Right.
That was the difference. This wasn't like...
That's why it wasn't considered like divination or something like that.
Psychic
or
reading.
In a bottle.
Yes,
like
or
that.
Tarot cards, or astrology,
right.
Those types of things. This is different when your intention is turned towards the God of creation. And if that's what you have in your mind, to whatever degree that you know him, because that's evolving, he meets that like a parent does a 2-year-old who doesn't have the words and the emotions to convey
right.
anything above what a 2-year-old can convey. He, like I said earlier, is at least us, and he is so much more than us, but he is at least able to do what we are able to do on our best day. And he's definitely able to be beyond what any of us can even fathom. And he can do beyond what any of us can even do. So I want to wrap this up by saying that I definitely think that we need to make a space for God, and that needs to be intentional on our part, or it may not get done. And in the times that we are living, and as each year passes by, it has become increasingly obvious to me how much more of someone bigger than me that needs to come into my world, my politics, my medical practices, my schools, homeschooling, whatever, my therapies that I have, all the media that I watch, the social media platforms that I'm on. All of these things, I have become increasingly aware of how much I need someone bigger, and I choose to put all of that into the God of creation. Because if I don't do that, we're going to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. Things are out of control on so many fronts, and everybody is basically, at the end of the day, fighting over crayons and coloring books, including and especially myself. All of my things, my very, very important, dear things to me are crayons and coloring books in the grand scheme of things. And there are bigger pictures going on all over the world and all over the country and all over my state, all over my neighborhood. And even within my own family and within my own house that I don't have awareness of. And God is our parent, and he is able to see the bigger picture when I can't see the bigger picture. And so my job is to get into a posture of yielding and of silence so that he can not, you know, answer all my questions. Why isn't this happening? Why isn't grandma or grandpa's thing fixed? Or, you know, all of these prayers. And those are all important things. But just like with our own children, sometimes the thing that they're focusing on is not the thing that needs to be focused on. So sometimes in these silent meetings, other things get brought up that don't seem to have anything to do with the current crisis at hand, but they do. And so I often listen to the Bible Project podcast, and one of the best things I think about the way that Tim Mackey has revealed to the audience, of anybody who listens or has anything or has ever experienced the Bible Project, the Bible Project does, is that Tim decided to approach the Bible not from the standpoint of, you know, how can I get all of my prayers answered and how can I get all of my questions answered, but he opened up the Bible in the very beginning and began to try to understand what the authors were actually trying to say. And I think that it's the same thing with this. Approaching a silent meeting from the standpoint of how can God meet all of the needs that I have and meet my crisis? And that's very important. I'm not even saying that happens a lot, but sometimes that doesn't happen. And when that doesn't happen, it can be tempting to throw the baby out with the bathwater and to stop and to say, well, I don't understand what's even being said in the first place. But if we just will sit with it, just sit with what we've been given over the course of a few days, not taking it to anyone else, taking just the Lord, I'm going to let you reveal what it is that you would have me to know. He will. He's always been faithful to do that. So I wanted to end with just a little bit more about how to do or how to end a silent meeting, or what to do with what you receive from a silent meeting. And I just want to thank you for taking time out to be with us on this episode and to share your heart on this topic. I look forward to being able to talk to all kinds of people, hopefully, about all kinds of different situations, and see how giving this offering of silence to God can change our individual lives and maybe over time bigger spaces that we inhabit as more and more people learn about how to do a silent meeting. Yes, so thank you very much.